Ahead of the quarterfinals, Gerard Houllier addressed the press corps with possible explanations for the many goals at this World Cup. He mentioned that a high tempo has caught some teams unaware. Also, the use of substitutes has created late drama as their fresh legs have undone tired players. Not a single first-half goal in the round of 16, with the winners coming late in normal or extra time, certainly proved that second point. Along those lines, the latest Howler Dummy podcast called this the tournament of the goal scorer and the goalkeeper, noting key performances from goalkeepers Ochoa, Howard, and others. The panel also talked about what is being done from an ecological perspective in Brazil. The government's proposed measures fell by the wayside, but a social media movement is creating awareness and pressure. Again, if you are not listening to this podcast, start subscribing today. Great content and well worth your time. One more note about the US-Belgium game. The Total Soccer Show broke down the game and really dug into the fact that Beckerman was left out. His absence, combined with Belgium's strategy of inviting American pressure, may have been the undoing of the United States. I still cannot believe that the Stars and Stripes had more possession, because it sure didn't feel like that. So if you want to still wallow in the depression of defeat, give it a listen. On to the football. France versus Germany. Michael Cox, otherwise known as Zonal Marking, identified Lloris versus Neuer as a key matchup, writing, "The style of these two goalkeepers is partly because both teams play very high defensive lines, and that pattern should continue in this intriguing quarterfinal." The news ahead of the match was the starting lineups. Germany went with Neuer, Lahm, Boateng, Hummels, Havertz, Kadir, Schweinsteiger, Kroos, Ozil, and Müller, with Klose starting up top. Raphael Honigstein noted that Kadir, Schweinsteiger, and Klose were all unlikely to last the distance, so that could impact the team. For the French, Sacco partnered Varane and Griezmann went up top, with Giroud relegated to the bench. In the preview pod, I called this game tasty, but it never hit top gear. France were disappointed and lacked the creativity and invention to undo a determined and well-drilled German team. I thought Müller's role didn't seem as involved, while Ozil appeared to be a marginal figure as well. France were not able to exploit the back line as Algeria had done, and as for Cox's critical matchup, these situations did not really come to the fore. Thought France kept Germany at arm's length for most of the match, but didn't do enough to level matters. Benzema had a chance to win it at the death, but Neuer was able to stick up a hand and knock it away. Germany won and are on to their fourth straight World Cup semifinal. In between the games, we watched the 2014 hot dog eating contest. That was a mistake. Watching men and women shove hot dogs down was just sick and wrong. Even worse was an ESPN Sports Science segment that showed what 69 hot dogs and buns would do to your innards. Ugh. After that was Brazil and Colombia. This match was enthralling and sloppy, sometimes at the same time. Brazil brought in Maicon for Dani Alves and partnered Paulinho and Fernandinho in the middle, while Colombia was mostly unchanged. The first half was open, similar to the Brazil-Chile game, and when Thiago Silva nodded home the corner, the Colombians were up against it. Their touches in the final third were a big letdown, but what was more surprising was their play out of the back. Several turnovers from the back line, sometimes under very little pressure, continued to invite the Brazilians onto them. The Colombians may have been a little lucky to still be in the match at halftime. The second half was punctuated by fouls and lots of play acting. Colombia couldn't get into the game, and when they did, Brazil killed any momentum with fouls. But the Seleção were not the only perpetrators, as time and again, Colombia players got their wax in against Brazilian attackers. With 20 minutes to go, a questionable call and card against James Rodriguez set up a David Luiz free kick. The goalie is poorly positioned and reacted late to a well-placed shot. The free kick flew into the net, and the host could start thinking about Germany. Cuadrado was replaced and didn't have the impact that I'd hoped for. Michael Cox saw his battle against Marcel as key, but the Colombian winger was crowded out and fouled several times, so that never really materialized. The thoughts about Germany were halted as Julio Cesar conceded a penalty 10 minutes later. Rodriguez stepped up and scored 6th goal of the tournament and created some real drama in the closing moments. Colombia continued to press a nervous Brazilian team, yet only created a series of half chances. The Brazilians advanced, but only just. This is what I predicted, but sad to see Colombia go out. With Thiago Silva suspended and Neymar off on a stretcher, it'll be interesting to see what kind of team takes the field on Tuesday. My night ended with Lansing United's home game against the Cincinnati Saints. Over 700 people came to Archer Stadium to see the home team keep their playoff hopes alive with a 4-1 win. A much better performance than the previous outing against Buffalo, United started strong and didn't let up. From the opening kickoff, Lane, you knocked the ball around and created chance after chance after chance. Brian Cunningham ended up with a hat trick inside of 30 minutes with help from Hill and Pascher. A lower tempo in the second half led to fewer chances. A turnover from Unai led to Cincinnati's only goal before Greg Timmer rounded off the scoring with a fine individual effort. Next up is a road trip to Michigan Stars, and then the team returns home next weekend for big games against the Indiana Fire and Detroit City FC. Had some great conversations last week with local high school coach Aaron Smith about the future of the MLS and the cooling breaks introduced at the World Cup. Kaká is going to Orlando City, and Aaron sees the MLS heading down the road of the North American Soccer League. Instead of building teams, new franchisees are buying marquee players and filling in around them, money that could be spent on youth player infrastructure. Agreed with him, but made the point that new owners don't have time to develop the team. They are spending big bucks and need immediate returns. Stars, old or not, put fans in the seats in the short term. Development will come later. As for the cooling breaks, Aaron doesn't like the fact that it allows coaches to use it as a timeout. Louis van Gaal even mentioned they use the second half cooling break to adjust his formation to a 4-3-3 and have a go at the Mexicans. Seems to me that only designated trainers and physios should come to the side of the field with their collection of water bottles, everybody gets a drink, and the managers stay out of it. Yes, I know there would be ways around it, but they should give the appearance of everything being on the up and up. Aaron made the comment that these breaks Americanize the game and also take away from the advantage of being fit. I see what he's saying, but in extreme temperatures, I think the precaution is advisable. Finally, just want to remind you about my blog and podcast. My blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com. The site is filled with posts about kits, books, soccer memories, and more. My regular podcast can be found at austinlong1974.podomatic.com or on iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad. Or you can find me on Twitter at austinlong1974. Please contact me with any comments or questions. Today sees Argentina against Belgium and then Holland and Costa Rica. I'm feeling confident in my semifinal picks, but also know this tournament might have one big surprise left. Until tomorrow, ta-ta!